Hey everybody, welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are back again in a world that is now post Spider-Man 2 releasing, Super Mario Wonder releasing, City Skylines 2 is on the cusp of releasing. What else am I
seeing?
Alan Wake 2 is coming out. One Punch Man World. I don't know. I'm just scanning
one
a list of
serious
stuff.
Serious Punch.
Yeah. Ghost Runner 2.
Yep.
Corey.
Yep.
Metal Gear Solid Master Collection. Yeah. I mean, it's the list goes on forever. And yet, there's still more to come. Corey, how do you feel being in this period that we're in right now of just pure unadulterated bliss?
Slightly overwhelmed, but also not overwhelmed. I think with the fact of I can look at the release calendar right now and kind of just say, well, this is it. You know, from now to Christmas, barring anything surprising, this is kind of it, which is really nice in my opinion. It's like, all right. We're just going to coast out. I think there's one game I'm forgetting sometime in November that I'm sure will come up. But again, it's just like, all right, well, from now until probably like, what, December 16th, I have to kind of just work through these as I please. So a little overwhelming, but also not.
Yeah. And I think that's been the big positive. I mean, it'd be nice if some of this stuff had been spread out a little bit, but. I mean, looking at it now, it's like, well, there's still plenty of stuff that's coming out. Like, there's the Like a Dragon Gaiden comes out in November. You have the Persona 5 Tactica and Super Mario RPG both come out in November. But it's not anything that's like too beefy. And also, in most cases, I don't feel like it's stuff where if I don't hit it right away, that I'm gonna like be hurting for it.
Right.
So yeah, it is a like, that's definitely gonna be my, it's definitely gonna be my Baldur's Gate 3 catch up window.
Yes.
I think this is in that area where it's like, there's not a bunch of huge stuff. So I can really kind of put some focus in. That's been the plan for a while has been,
I like
just,
it.
Let me take that period to just really sink in deep. But Corey, I mean, unfortunately, neither of us have played Super Mario Wonder.
Sadly.
Very sadly, but it's also not hurting for it. It currently has a, what is it, like a 92, 93, 94?
92, I think, on Metacritic.
Yeah. So doing very well, which is, I mean, it's not surprising. I don't know that I don't remember the last time a mainline Mario game was like not super well received. I feel like the closest thing, maybe like New Super Mario Brothers U, which is like, wasn't poorly received. It was just like, this isn't, you know, it's, there's not doing anything special. So like people were just kind of like, eh. But yeah, I mean, like Mario games typically do well. Seems like this is doing well, but it also helps that like, I'm glad to see, you know, this is the first Mario that doesn't have Charles Martinet. And it's not like Charles Martinet is like the thing that has made Super Mario games. I mean, he's very pivotal to the character,
yes,
but it's not like he is the sole reason that Mario games perform as well as they do. But you know, it's good to see that people aren't like review bombing it and it being like this big controversial thing. So yeah, I'm happy. I am very happy to see that it's doing well. We went the other direction. We went the Spider-Man direction, just, you know, to full spoileries there, just I mean, for, I can't speak for Corey, but for me, it was just like, meh. I mean, Spider-Man, Mario seems eternal. I can pick up Mario. I can play Mario. I can love Mario. Spider-Man, same kind of thing, but Spider-Man feels more conducive to the conversation. And people are going to be having that conversation. And also, too, like, you know, we'll get into it as we go, but like, you know, I appreciate the stuff that Insomniac's doing with the Spider-Man license, and I would rather not be spoiled on things if I can help it. So being able to kind of come into it early and see what's up is very exciting. So
I agree. And you said the word, I'm not hurting right now when it comes to playing. I feel like I'm hurting not playing Super Mario Wonder, because everything I'm seeing about it is great. All that to be said, I mean, not to speak for you either, but I think it goes along with what you were saying with what Insomniac's doing with Spider-Man, with Wolverine coming down the line. This is their quote-unquote like MCU, for lack of a better word. You know, this is Insomniac's Marvel right now, and they are really building out a massive cast of characters, very fleshed out story, and won't spoil with where we're at in the game, but like the game hints at a much larger world, as the first one did as well. But instead of window dressing, I would say there's a little bit more concrete like steps into expanding what they've set up. And so I'm in the same boat as you, where like, okay, I want to get ahead of this, like see what's going on here. One, because it is a great game, spoilers. But two, you know, there's a lot of story implications, and I think I don't want to be spoiled either. I want to see it firsthand and not have to worry about scrolling across something and just being like, well, that'd have been nice to like not have seen.
But to make you want to play Super Mario Wonder even more, according to Nintendo Life, quote, Super Mario Brothers Wonder is quite simply the best 2D Mario game since Super Mario World.
Wow.
And they ranked it of all the Mario games. They ranked it at number 6, which is a step above Super Mario 64, the much beloved. The only games above it, at least according to them, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Super Mario World.
Okay.
So it's pretty good considering new Super Mario Brothers U that we most previously mentioned, they ranked at number 19. So.
GM. Well, yeah. I mean, we talked about it last week, or I talked about it last week, where I said that this is the Switch's sunset, is Super Mario Wonder. And if you look at some of like the developer talk on it, the team was basically told there is no deadline other than like we kind of just want it towards the end. So they've been working on this and experimenting with this for who knows how long at this point, just making it the best that they can.
Yep.
So it doesn't shock me by any means that it is widely praised and loved already. And I think that's super exciting. And I'm so excited to get my hands on it. Maybe next week, the week after. We'll see.
But Corey, let's dive into the meat here. You have been playing Spider-Man 2. I have also been playing Spider-Man 2. Spoiler free. How far in are you? What are you looking at?
I've done Coney Island.
Okay. So for perspective, for people who have played it, Coney Island has a portion go on there. So, before we dive in too deep, it's one of the things that I am appreciating, I think, a lot about this. You know, again, not to spoil much of anything, but the Coney Island section is largely very just kind of like chill. You know, it's a very just chill. Kind of like it's very reminiscent of like some of the Uncharted games, or like some of the Last of Us stuff, like some of the Naughty Dog like prestige things, where they would just like take a beat, and for 5 minutes it's just you're hanging out in Nathan Drake's house and you're just kind of like looking through, and it has a lot of that energy where it's just like you are taking in this moment and you're building the relationship. It's not like there's not this big bombastic action. And there are like several moments of that throughout the game, even where I'm a little farther than you are. But yeah, I mean, even this far in, because for me, like, I think percentage wise, I don't know, I guess it's cumulative, but I'm at like 30%. So okay. I don't think that that's, I think it's a little bit more, I don't know. I think that's including like all of the, like side stuff too. So 30% like completed maybe. But yeah, I'm not too terribly far in, but even at this point, I mean, they've had a lot of these just like calmer moments and a lot of just like really introspective things. And I appreciate that with a, especially with a game that is very like bombastic and very like high energy. A lot of times being able to take a moment and just kind of like really soak some of these characters in, I think is really cool.
I agree. So far early on, I mean, we were texting about it, talking about it, earlier, and it is very slow moving early on. You described it well in that, they are taking two main characters, two like lead characters, and this isn't their independent games anymore where they have an entire game to really go and flesh out this one nice clean story. You have two leads, who are two different people, two different issues, two different like sets of problems and their own issues that they need to overcome, and they're spending a lot of time really setting those up, really laying the tracks for the train that's going to follow. And I think it's working well for me. Without getting spoilers, I love the game. I think it's very fun. Mm-hmm. It's a blast. But I do find it's kind of trudging its feet a little bit, setting the stage. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Because at any point, which is what I'm doing right now, you can just say, I'm not going to follow the main story. I'm going to swing around, fly around, zip around New York, do side quest, and like just be Spider-Man and have a ton of fun, which is what I'm doing. Yep. And that's really, really nice. I am excited to see the story as it's playing out. I do think it's good so far. I don't think it's bad by any means, but it's certainly taking its time.
Yep.
Which is everything I had heard going into it, is that the back half of it just goes absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, I tried, because it hasn't been since the original came out that I have played the original. I didn't, I mean, I platinumed the original and had played like the DLC. So, I mean, like, whenever the remaster came out, I wasn't super hungry for it. I think especially too, because like when the remaster came out, I still had not played Miles Morales. Yeah. Or did they come out? I can't remember if they came out at the same time. I don't know.
No.
But like I was like, I still need to play Miles Morales. That's going to be my lane. So, I mean, it's been a while since I've played the original, but like, I feel like the original did have a slow burn with stuff like, Doc Ock and, you know, a lot of these other kind of things going on. I think that is one of the troubles potentially that they're navigating here, is that it potentially feels like less is happening over the same amount of time, because you are having that time split, which granted, I mean, Miles does get at least at this point, he does feel like he gets a little bit of the short end of the stick, because like, the story, at least at this point, the story is kind of like focusing more on what's happening on Peter's side of the world than like Miles. And maybe toward the end, like it switches roles and Miles really kind of steps in, because Miles, like his narrative arc is being set up and he is present and he's having things going on. But it very much like is leaning more on the Peter side of things. And but the fact that they are like having to split that time, where it's like, okay, you are building some of this up, and now you're building up some of Miles' stuff, and you're doing some of these things. Like, it feels like you're less as progressing in the same amount of time. So yeah, I mean, it is a, it hasn't, I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I haven't felt like, there's anything wrong with that. It's just, mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, I can see people being like, man, this really, I've been playing for like 8 hours and I don't know that much has happened yet. <Yeah. laughs> there's a little bit of that, but also at the same time, there's a lot of stuff happening because there's mm-hmm. so much you can do, and there's so much that's available right off the bat where you have a lot of traversal mechanics right off the bat, like the wingsuit, being able to fly and being able to.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, and then all of these different, multiple skill trees and there's a lot happening. And I think that's I think that it's really impressive for a studio to be able to make an open world game with as much going on in it to not feel bloated. Cause I mean, I feel like there are plenty of other games that could make it feel a whole lot worse with a whole lot less. And, the fact that they're able to really, really kind of streamline it and make these two narratives kind of interweave together is really, really interesting. So I'm super excited to see where it goes and what happens. And for people who are uninitiated with Spider-Man 2, I mean, it's very Spider-Man 1, all Peter Parker. Spider-Man mm-hmm. Miles Morales, all Miles Morales. Spider-Man 2, it's got two Spider-Men. You gotta see what's going on with both of them. Because they're very, that's the thing. Miles Morales, he didn't have a huge super duper role in Spider-Man 1. He's there. He exists. So, going into Miles Morales, you know who Miles Morales is. What happens in Miles Morales is very it's contained there. Mm-hmm. It's all it's his own thing that's going on. It's him growing and learning and a lot of that kind of stuff. So, he's grown a lot. Peter's grown a lot. There's a lot of stuff happening. So I am very, and I am for me, I am starting to get to a part where the rails are starting to come off a little bit, story wise, mm-hmm. where you can see that the shit's about to go down in a way, yeah. maybe not in the big, the big, this is the climax kind of thing, but you can start to see the cracks forming where it's we're going to start having some problems.
Yeah.
And so I am excited to keep kind of going through the story and see what's happening next at this point. So
I do feel like with where I'm at after the Coney Island sequence that I am a little bit of the setup's done. Now it's okay, the story's about to start rolling from here, which I do think is a good feeling. I'm excited for, I think, to get into more of the actual game itself, and what you're looking at, and with other people who might not have picked it up yet, or just given our thoughts on it. Going from Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man Miles Morales to here, the evolution that Insomniac has made is outstanding, I think, when it comes to one world traversal. I think before, between to take New York as Spider-Man's playground in those first two games, which I think they did excellently, but getting around, very fun. They nailed the web swinging in both of those. But at the speed that you could go before, it would take a while to get across New York. And it felt a little repetitive. A lot of the missions that they had set up, a lot of the world events that were happening felt very repetitive, very similar sequences that you just kind of did over and over again. And that's not a horrible thing. it was their first crack at this and they did an excellent job. But to see where they have gone from those two to here to where swinging's infinitely better, that it's not that it was ever bad, it was great. Now it's almost perfect, I would say. They have the wingsuit on top of like wind tunnels and all of this. You can now get across New York in like a few minutes.
Yeah.
If you're like not beelining it. On top of adding Brooklyn and Queens into it, they've created this massive but also not massive open world. I think this is a great design when it comes to like doing the most with little, because the map itself is probably very tiny if you want to compare it to other like massive open world games, like even like a God of War Ragnarok. I feel like this dwarfs in size compared to that. Or something like The Witcher 3, Elden Ring, all of these are these huge, massive experiences, and they've taken a very small open world and just filled it with so much to do. Yeah. I have found, I think, a lot of the side content very fun, very rewarding at times. I feel like it's no longer like forcing you to like work to have fun and get like upgrades and make your Spider-Man better and get his gadgets better and find new suits and all this, like how they did in the first game where it was a collect-a-thon more than anything. And in here, it's now stopping a simple car chase is like you just stop the chase. There is no like this massive button mashing mini game or anything like that. They've streamlined a lot of the things that I think were a little bit annoying from the first two games and rewarded you more for doing those. And now you're just getting free suits, like really great upgrades. You kind of really get to craft how your Peter Parker or your Miles Morales plays this time around, at least in my opinion so far. And I'm just really digging what they've done. I think it's Insomniac is just churning out hits and doing it so well. And I'm just so impressed. I think it's absolutely outstanding what they've done. And it's just so fun to play. I think all this is to boil it down to something. It's just incredibly fun to actually play.
Yep.
And combat's great. Just whole cans of whoop ass being opened constantly. And it's so satisfying. It's just, it's good. Really, really good.
Yeah. And I think that that's like one of the... It's one of the weird kind of dichotomies between Naughty Dog and Insomniac is that like there's, and I think one of the things that we've kind of talked about like multiple times, just at different points, is like they seem like they kind of came from similar places, you know, like.
Yeah.
Insomniac had Spyro, Naughty Dog had Crash Bandicoot. They both had like Ratchet and Clank,
Jack and Daxter.
And like, and then they diverted and it, you know, Naughty Dog kind of took this path of being very, you know, much more prestige, much more wanting to tell these serious stories. Mm-hmm. And Insomniac like continued, like in this case with Spider-Man, like they're telling serious stories. I mean, the original Spider-Man had a lot of like, deep, heavy stuff, and
it's incredible.
But they're still like very committed to we want you to have fun. Like we want players to go into it and like fun above all else. Like we don't want to sacrifice that element for something else. And I like, and that's something really admirable because it doesn't feel like I feel like games can land in a couple of different spheres where it's like, okay, there are the games that are not super fun to play, but are like required reading, kind of like reading like an old literary classic. You know, nobody wants to read Great Expectations, but you know, you kind of feel like you have to do it like for yourself, or like, I owe it to myself. I read it in middle school. And because I was made to, would I revisit it? God, no. Do I remember much of it? Nope.
But you read it.
I did read it. And it's on the flip side, then you have games that feel like they're just mind-numbing. Like, they're just there to be these, like, to, you know, like your idle games, or like even to some extent, like your Borderlands or Diablos or something like that, where it's like your mind can just kind of shut off and you can just like, this is just a thing to do in a way. Yeah. And like, and I feel like there's, I feel like to some extent it can be difficult to kind of thread that needle and make an experience that is both like worthwhile and makes you feel like it's worth experiencing, but is also fun. And it's one of the things that I think is really impressive with Spider-Man is that like it, all of the games have been that kind of thing where everything does feel legitimately fun. Combat feels fun. Traversal feels fun. The story feels fun, like fun in quotes, just, I mean, big thing, good things happen, bad things happen. Like it's all like, it's fun. It's engaging is probably the more like the better way of phrasing that, but yeah. It's like, it is a, it's an experience that like across the board is just like, we are making this experience fun above everything else. And like, that's something that like, you know, you feel in your Ratchet and Clank games. Ratchet and Clank games yep. never don't feel fun. So they are like, Insomniac, I think, has like fine tuned that like just to the nth degree, and they just know how to make that work, which I think is wonderful, and I love that so much. So
yeah, I'm very curious to see how Wolverine plays out by them.
Yeah,
because yep. I mean, they have nailed the fun factor, but along with a very like grounded story that pulls all the emotions that you would expect in a Spider-Man tale. I'm very interested to see the Wolverine.
Yep.
I imagine it's not going to be the New York setup. I'm picturing more of a blend of, I'm picturing, I know they do it in Uncharted Lost Legacy, but in Last of Us Part 2, that those little like open world, like contained sections. I'm picturing more of that with the Ratchet and Clank, like, world setting, like yeah. a couple of different areas that you'll bounce around that are filled with a lot of things to do. But yeah, because I think the most obvious differences between Spider-Man and Wolverine are very obvious. You know, one's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man swings around New York, you know, wraps people up in webs, says see you later, has nice quips, and Wolverine is gutting people with metal claws and is filled with anger yep. and rage. And I believe they've said it will be like a far more mature take than what you've seen from them in the past. But I mean, it feels weird to label this as a fun factor. I can never see them sacrificing that fun factor within their games with just how they've done it. I'm just curious to see how that lands, I think, more than anything, because I think they're going to nail playing as Wolverine. It's going to be fun. It's going to be absolutely crazy. Probably going to be very, very gory. But I think they'll nail it. I just want to see how it turns out more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, speaking of, I mean, I won't, like, I guess just to potentially save on spoilers and also me like looking too deeply into anything, but apparently there is some speculation about the Wolverine story and setting based on some Easter eggs that people have found in Spider-Man 2. So look that up. You know, if you want, at least going off of it, it seems like there's, I mean, it doesn't, like, at least looking at a couple of things, it doesn't seem like maybe there's a ton there, but who knows? Maybe. So yeah. So they may have some sort of little announcements and stuff coming up before too long to show us what's up with Wolverine.
I wouldn't be shocked by the Game Awards if they have a, because Insomniac's been churning games out is the big thing. I mean, they 2018 Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ratchet, Clank, Rift Apart, Spider-Man 2 now. They've had four massive titles in 6 years. So there's no reason to believe that there wouldn't be a fifth one in eight, I guess. Rate that they're going.
Yeah. Do they only have one studio? I can't remember.
I think so. I think it's in North Carolina. I think it's like right above us.
Yeah. I know their like central studio is nearby. I just couldn't, I mean, with all it, because that's the thing is like, yeah, I mean, if they had like eight different Insomniac studios, then it, of course they'd be pumping out tons of stuff. But yeah, I mean, if it's just one studio, they're
getting stuff done. I think they have two teams. I think I looked into them. They effectively have their Marvel. Well, they had their Spider-Man team and Ratchet and Clank. They might have built a third for Wolverine, slash they might have had the Ratchet and Clank team working on Wolverine. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So they have a studio in Burbank and a studio in Durham.
Okay. So they have two.
California and North Carolina for,
yeah,
for everybody. Okay. Yeah. So a couple of, I imagine a couple of different teams. So, cool.
Yeah. It's sick.
Also one of the best places to work.
That doesn't shock me. There's been nothing but like glowing reviews from the developers out of Insomniac where, right, there's no crunch, there's no rush, nothing like that. We just get to have fun and make great games. And that's what they do.
Yeah. Fun facts. Insomniac, working as an artist for Insomniac was one of my dream jobs whenever I was in high school. That's what I wanted to do. It could be. I'm not that good of an artist, but
don't sell yourself short, Chris. You're a great artist.
It could be. That was I do remember like that being like, man, if I could be a concept artist at Insomniac, that would be dope. Who knows? Corey, I'm very excited to have, we'll probably have to, after we have our Final Fantasy 16 spoiler discussion, we'll have to have a...
promised me, Chris.
After I moved in. I haven't moved in yet, Corey. It hasn't happened.
What do you mean? I'm looking at your apartment. Not your apartment. Your office and in your home.
Hush. We'll have to have a Spider-Man 2 spoiler.
That's what it'll be. It'll be a no. It's going to be a triple bonus of Elden Ring, Final Fantasy 16, and Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, if I can remember what happened in Elden
Ring at this. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do. I just. Not as much as I did.
My Moonblade Katana, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Delicious. Corey, outside of that, have you been playing anything else?
Yeah.
Super Mario Wonder in your dreams?
In my dreams. I've been playing a couple other things. I finished Assassin's Creed Mirage. I talked about it last week. If you want to hear my full thoughts, go listen to last week's episode. I'll give some quicker thoughts here. I don't have a ton to add. It's mostly, I believe you texted me, what'd you think? And I think my response was, it's fine. Yep. It was fine.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's kind of how I still feel about it. A little over a week later, it was fine. Assassin's Creed Mirage. It was one of those things where the longer I played it, the more and more I'm like, they just picked up the engine from 2014. I believe that's when Assassin's Creed Syndicate came out, 2015, 2014, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 15.
Maybe. And they just put a Baghdad in it and just ran with it. And I don't think that's the worst thing. I just found it very obvious. I found Baghdad a very fun city to explore. Bassem as a interesting protagonist. I felt a little let down by the story, considering the implications it has within Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting a bit more there, And I don't think I was wrong to expect a bit more there. All around, I thought it was just kind of fine. Very short, which I like. I got in and out. It's exactly what I wanted. Great Assassin's Creed story. Great city to explore. I kind of could see where the story was taking me, I think, which isn't a bad thing either. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm glad this, Max, what they were putting down, I picked up, and I felt good about that.
Yeah.
But all around, I just don't think that they did enough with a full Assassin's Creed title. I mean, it was $50. It was knocked off. I appreciate that as well. But it's, again, I said it last week, I really think they need to take, if they're going to keep doing these in these old styles, which I do like these better than the big open world ones,
yeah,
they really need to rebuild that engine from the ground up, make the running so much better, make combat infinitely better. I love the set pieces, the worlds that they're putting out there. I think they have always nailed down like the environment, in my opinion. That is something that they've been able to nail every time.
Yeah.
I just think they really need to get the actual play of the game a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I like the cycle of it, of you kind of are a detective, a bit of investigation in these boroughs of Baghdad, trying to figure out who exactly in the Templar Order you're trying to figure out who it is. You don't just know.
Yep.
Doing a bit of investigative work, talking to citizens, doing a couple of like minor takedowns, and then like it's a reveal. You have a bit of a sandbox to figure out what you want to do. It gets a little too scripted in those later on. I still think the first one's the best one in terms of its sandbox approach. But all around, I liked the cycle of the game. I thought how they set up the investigative bit with some, and how you learn who it is, and some of the storylines that they put within those are really, really good as well. Mm-hmm. I thought they nailed all of that. I just found the combat atrociously bad. it was really like just bad by the end. I thought the stealth was fair and good. I just found movement really bad. In a way where I'm like, it's always been this bad. Why can't we fix it?
Yeah.
So ultimately, at the end of the day, it was fine. Okay. I enjoyed it. So maybe very, worth checking out.
Very, very tepid of you, Corey. Loved it.
Yeah. It was just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I can see a wonderful game here, and I think that's what you can say about like the last seven Assassin's Creed. Is like, I can see where a great game could have been in here, but Ubisoft is just, quite frankly, some like greedy capitalist endeavors, and like, they'll buy it anyway, and we do.
Well, and I think it also is combination like, they don't really know what they want sometimes in some ways. Like, I think it's combination, like, you know, I don't know their leadership situation, but I mean, very obviously with their, like, the way they're looking to monetize Assassin's Creed going forward, have this kind of like perpetual meta type thing. They definitely have that in mind to make it like a enduring, like, living game franchise kind of thing. But I think it's also, they just don't, I mean, ever since those first few games where they had that very clear line of like,
mm-hmm,
this is what we want, this is the story we're trying to tell, these are the Easter eggs that we're trying to drop, and like the crumbs that we're trying to leave you and stuff, they really did kind of like, I think after like the Desmond sequence of stuff, they really did kind of like lose their I think their trajectory of like, because even Black Flag, which was the first one after that, like Black Flag I would say is like one of my favorite Assassin's Creed,
but it's like, so good.
It's also not like a great Assassin's Creed game.
No,
it's a wonderful pirate game.
It's an incredibly good pirate game.
It's a very good pirate game, but it's not like a it really, you can feel some of that lost identity pretty quickly after, after that, the Desmond stuff kind of drops. So I still want to play it because I do I like Assassin's Creed. I want to see what's up with it. I'm not, super urgent to get to it. I'm not gonna choose that over Baldur's Gate. So don't worry.
No, you should
not.
Don't
worry, Corey. But I still want to give it a shot and at least see it. That way I can have fuller opinions about it.
Yeah, I mean, for both of us, and we've both played these games for a long time, I think it's worth picking up for you on your end of it. Again, I don't think it's a bad game by any means. Like I said, I think it's fine. I just found it annoying, very annoying at certain times where I'm just like, I really wish y'all would put a bit more love into these games, because like there's no one else out here, like I said, that's going to go and recreate like a 9th century Baghdad for you to run around and play in. Like, no one else is doing that. You're the only ones doing it. And so, like, I don't know. Just put a bit more behind it.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be on the GOTY list. Might make an honorable mention. I think at the end of the day, I was just frustrated because I'm like, y'all could just be doing so much more. And these games could be so good, like impeccably good if a bit more effort was put into it. Yeah. Not to disparage like any developers or the teams that worked on it, but it's more of just the vision behind, I guess, the series. That's my piece on it.
They need it. Some Insomniac blood up in there.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have picked up Resident Evil 4 DLC Separate Ways.
Ooh, with Ada Wong.
Yes.
Secret agent, spy.
Mm-hmm. And so Separate Ways picks up where you play through Ada Wong's 7 chapters of Resident Evil 4 and her story throughout the game. If you played Resident Evil 4, she appears multiple times throughout the sequence of events of the main game, kind of saving Leon's butt every time. Yep. And Separate Ways was an original DLC, I believe, or might have came from the original release of the original Resident Evil 4, that I believe only unlocked after you beat the game. I don't quite know its history. Yeah. I know it was originally part of the game. Regardless, all that being said, I've been playing it. It's very fun. It is my spoopy season game at the moment.
Of course.
It was very jarring being back in that environment and having to like, oh, wait, crap. I remember like this game didn't actually make me scared at times. Let's reframe our brain really quick.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's incredible. It playing it reminded me how good Resident Evil 4 was. And I don't mean that to disparage Separate Ways because it's incredibly good. But ever since I've beaten it, I've had this thought of like, oh, I think I would want to replay that before the year is out. I think that'd be really fun. And playing Separate Ways, I'm like, oh no, this is really fun. I do need to replay this.
Yeah.
But more on Separate Ways. It, like I said, follows Ada Wong. And she's actually been on the island much longer than like you realize. She is there before like Leon is even like en route to the area, or I guess he is en route. I guess just kind of depends on the time frame semantics, which is interesting. But she's there kicking ass, taking names, trying to find Luis, trying to find the Amber. And I think it's outstanding how they have made Ada play similar, but also as her completely own different character to Leon.
Yeah.
She is a little bit quicker. She has some machine gun and a pistol starting out. She gets a couple of different weapons throughout. She has this grappling hook, which isn't like a real grappling hook. It is a real grappling hook. There's only certain parts that you can grapple on a map and only like certain times usually. But that changed in a boss fight where like you're, without getting into like super spoilery parts, you're in part of the village and you can like just zip across all the rooftops while you're taking out enemies from up there. And it turns into what is a kind of a small cornered area of the map into like a full sandbox for you of like, oh, I'm just going to go over here and shoot my arrow, take out this guy, pistol, this guy, taking down like the boss in the area, like quick as well. And it went from how I would say Resident Evil 4 is kind of tanky into I am effectively Spider-Man, like zipping around this little area, like not taking any damage because no one can get close to me in time. And I am just laying pain and I have a little bit of time to do it as well. Like I can get over there. I can turn. I can aim. I can like place my shots before anyone gets really too close. I can zip somewhere else. And it's taken a little bit of that fear factor out of it for me, which is good for me personally. And I really, really enjoy, like I enjoyed that boss fight because there's a similar boss fight with Leon where you are kind of cornered. You're kind of running for your life. Like, let me run over here, aim. I don't really have time to shoot. Let me like get out of the way, get out of the way. Ugh, this person's in my grill kind of a thing. I'm getting stressed. Which I think is a good part of the game, but it just flipped how my perception of the game could be played, which I think is like so cool for them to be able to do.
Yeah.
I am about halfway through Separate Ways. I'm on chapter 4 of 7. And immediately getting into chapter 4, I was reminded of like, oh, wait, this section of the game did freak me out. Without getting any spoilers, it's the castle bit where you can like hear them just chanting at any time. Like one's kind of like, you can't see him yet, the enemies, but you can like hear them. And that part of it just like gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And that kind of happened. That happens pretty early on in the chapter. I'm like, oh, please stop. No, I don't.
Only gets better from there, Corey.
I believe it. Yeah. Well, in the main game towards the end, the only part that really freaked me out were like the weird like husk things.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Regenerators.
Yeah, the regenerators. The actual enemies in that area, I thought, were far less scary than like the cult members. They were just like these guys with like electric poles, really. I didn't find them like super creepy. They were just kind of like, oh, kind of feel bad for you kind of a thing. While the cult members like freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because they're also way more aggressive too.
Yeah.
They like rush you, they have fire, these pitchforks, they like this odd chanting, they blend in with the environment. It's tough to see them. That's also at the time where they really introduce like the sprouting like insect monster heads. It's a rough time.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. Like I said, it's so fun to play. It's wonderful to see that they've effectively created a whole new way to play the game. And Ada's just a badass and it's sick. I'm loving it. I'm really excited to see the end. I really want to see the end because I want to play Dredge before the month's out. Oh, yeah. And get that in this year.
Did you ever start Dredge? Or
mm-mm. Okay. I have it. I own it. It was on sale. It was only like $7 off. I'm like, that's enough. And I picked it up.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you played it or not. But I guess you have not. I don't know if I'll play Separate Ways anytime soon. But yeah, I do really appreciate that like perspective in games. I know, Corey, but there's other stuff going on.
4 hours.
Corey, to quote you, I am about to throw you through a wall.
Fair.
I mean, I like that perspective, like being able to just see the game in a different way. I mean, like, I think one of the key ones that comes to mind that is like Shovel Knight like whenever Shovel Knight came out, and they had all of their different campaigns where it was like, oh, you're playing Shovel Knight and you get to know Shovel Knight and how you fight and stuff. And then now here's this whole separate campaign where you're playing as one of the bosses who plays differently, but you're playing through some of the same levels, and there's a lot of like crossover and stuff. And then, you know, then they have another one, and then they have another one, and they like they're creating this whole like, you know, alternate kind of thing. But it's like a really, you know, it's a really cool thing to be able to kind of remix the game to some extent and be able to tell it from a different perspective. So very cool. I will probably pick it up at some point because I still do owe myself a little bit more Resident Evil. This year was my Resident Big Evil.
Your Resident Evil era.
Yeah, the only ones, or at least like main number ones that I have not played at this point would be 1 and 3.
Did you play 5 and 6 this year?
Oh, no, I haven't played 6. I blocked out 6. 5 I didn't play this year, but I have played 5 before. That was one of the only ones that I had actually played. At this point, probably just waiting for the inevitable remake before I actually play it again. But
I'm curious to see how they do those 5 and 6 remakes, because I haven't played them. I've just heard awful things about them. And they sound fairly deserved. So I'm curious to see if they like retcon and like really remake them.
I don't know. I mean, the big redeeming factor about 5, and most people will say this, is like, it's a really good co-op game. Like it is it's one of the, like, cause you can play it through start to finish co-op. You play in that game as Chris Redfield, and, there's a new, like his protagonist is like, cause it's set in Africa, and his protagonist I think is like a local. So she's like kind of helping him through it and like letting him around and stuff. And so, I mean, you are able to, like, she's your partner regardless, even if you don't have a co-op person. But I mean, it's definitely, it is a step further into the action direction than, because I've never been great at horror stuff, and I remember even back then, like, it wasn't a scary experience. Maybe that was because I like had a friend that I was playing with, but it wasn't. So I mean, yeah, I mean, 5 and 6, that's the big departure, is that they are a lot more action focused. So it is going to be it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. Who knows? Maybe they'll make them cool again.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Beyond that, Corey, I have been playing, or had been playing prior to Spider-Man 2, Octopath Traveler 2 again, or not again. I picked it up and continued playing. I had played more of it than I remembered. I had put in like close to 20 hours, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess I didn't feel like it was that far because I was in like I was at the start of the, like, for people who are not like super familiar with the arc of Octopath, it's like, you know, there are 8 characters and each of the characters have their own like 4 chapter arc throughout it. And Octopath Traveler 2 is a little bit more complex than that, and they have a couple of like offshoots and stuff. But that's kind of by and large. And so, like, you kind of, in the way it's structured, you can go and tackle them however you want, but because of level like recommendations, it's pretty much you do everybody's like chapter 1, then everybody's chapter 2, and everybody's chapter 3, and you kind of go that direction. So I was like, had just, you know, I was a couple of chapter 2s in, so like it felt pretty early, but I guess I had spent more time with it than I thought. Now I am probably decently into like people's chapter 3s. And, you know, it's have like gotten some of the subclasses and gotten some of the, like, you know, some of that additional stuff. So stuff's starting to, like, flesh out a little bit more. And, I mean, not to poo-poo on, like, Sea of Stars, for instance, but it's just the most recent, like, RPG of that style that that we've played. It's just, it, Octopath Traveler, like, for all of the, like, rightful criticisms of, like, the narrative kind of being disjointed in spots and wishing that it was more connected and, like, whatever, like, it is such, the Octopath game is such a good game. Like, the stories, all of the standalone narratives are so, like, strong. And the characters, especially in two, like, I think in one, like, the characters can feel a little like white bread in a way where it's like, okay, like, Ulbrich the warrior has kind of like a traditional warrior arc where he's this old
Ulbrich.
Right. He's this old grizzled guy who's just like living a lonesome life and he's having to like redeem himself. And then, you know, who am I trying to think of? The merchant girl. She wants to
be the greatest merchant in the land.
Right. I mean, she's just kind of like having this self, like, kind of like this goal for herself to be the best merchant and travel. And, you know, the cleric like has some stuff, but it's pretty like on par with what you would think. Right. You know, there's like some upset in the church and like, you know, she's kind of sent on her way and most of them kind of like, I think follow like what your typical archetype would be. Even though they all have like interesting twists and different like kind of paths. And I don't think many of them are bad. But Octopath Traveler 2 seems to have a lot more like, they kind of inject a little bit more unpredictable kind of like backstories and just kind of directions with things where it's like, okay, like the cleric in this game, he's more kind of like he's an inquisitor in a way. And so he's kind of like a detective, but he's also like not the most devout. So he's kind of, he's very like kind of, he's cool. Yeah, he's kind of like suspicious of his own religion. Like, even though he's doing it for the church, he's like, hey, like, you know, he'll say for the flame or something. Like, you know, he'll very much like he wears it on his sleeve that he's just like he's not like 100% convinced. And then you have your characters like, you know, the warrior is the prince from a fallen kingdom and he has this like secret like shadow demon living inside of him and stuff. And you know, there are all of these kind of archetypes there. Like the only one that feels a little bit strange is the dancer, who she is very like naive, happy. She's traveling the world and wants to like dance for everybody. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with it, but hers is the only one that's like you're looking at and you're like, I can take it or leave it.
In comparison to the dancer from the first one, which was like the assassin, I think.
Yeah. The dancer from the first one was probably the most like compelling individual story because she had like, she was also like, there was a lot of, you know, themes of abuse and all of this kind of stuff of her like kind of taking back her life and everything. And so there's but I say like all of that to say like Octopath Traveler 2 just overall, like it's easy to forget like how strong a game that is, just because like, you know, I mean, JRPGs can get kind of overlooked and I started it back in whenever, February, whatever, and, you know, then kind of set it down for something else and took me this long to get back into it. And now I'm even setting it down again for Spider-Man 2 and it is what it is. But it's one of those things where like, as I'm playing through it, it's like, man, like the combat feels great. The game, because I mean, that was one of the things with Sea of Stars too that did bother me was that there was a level to the combat where it was like it felt like it wanted to have that strategic element like Octopath, but it didn't always hit. Like sometimes it did, because you would have those things where like an enemy would be setting up an attack and you would have like a turn, and there would be like this, a turn to stagger him and make him not hit. Whereas like, okay, I need to use two moon attacks and a blunt attack and a poison attack, and I'll stop him in his tracks. And there were some times where like things would work, but there were times where it was like, oh, you have one turn to deal 8 different types of damage. And it was like, you could tell that it was almost kind of like a randomly generated thing almost where, and it was like, well, this is just impossible. And then there's like, it's in some cases it would reduce damage if you knocked off some of those, but in some cases it didn't. And so I was like, well, what's the point? Why am I going to try and like bend over backwards to try and do a couple of these when it's impossible to do them all, and that it's an all or nothing kind of thing. Whereas like with Octopath, like it is a very, you know, there are always options, because you'll go up against an enemy who has 4 different weaknesses, like constant weaknesses pretty much. And like, yeah, if you're in an area that's like this other character who deals lightning damage and has a staff and a sword, then more of the enemies are probably going to have some of those weaknesses. Cause it's like, okay, well, if you started with this character and you're here, then we're going to like kind of tailor some of this to that. So, I mean, you'll be in areas that kind of like shift one way or another, but especially as you get further on in the game and you get like, everybody has more weapons available to them and more like damage types available to them, it does feel like a legitimately strategic thing where it's like, okay, I have this guy is going to wreck me in 3 turns if I don't figure out how to like break his shield. And like, it's entirely possible. I have all of the tools here. I just need to figure out how. And like, and that's a much more rewarding thing. And that is one thing that like, I think legitimately did bother me with Sea of Stars, where it's like, man, this is not hitting in the same way that like Octopath does, where like Octopath really gets you going feeling like you're figuring this stuff out. And I think it's like, I don't know, Octopath Traveler is a special little game that really does, those games really do capture, I think they really do tune into that, like, blending that old aesthetic and old, like, kind of sensibilities with, like, a very strong modernized combat system.
Yeah, we have talked about it all year, like, here on Arcade Cozy, and also, like, just texting, where I think both of us have constantly been like, I want to go back to Octopath 2. I'm so glad you have. I'm so excited to hear soon. I'm going on, I think I said, I'm going on a trip in like 2 weeks. I'm going to be on a plane for so many hours. I'm taking my Switch with me, not my Steam Deck, just for travel sake. But I'm taking Octopath 2 and Tears of the Kingdom and probably Super Mario Wonder. And I will be just blazing through those. Maybe not Super Mario Wonder. I really want to like wrap up Tears of the Kingdom. Because where I left off was, I know where Ganon is. And so I've done everything. It's more of just let me get back in. Get, not my last, like, taste of the world, but, you know, let it sink in. Mm-hmm. Refamiliarize myself. See the game to the end. But I really want to get back into Octopath 2, especially having played Final Fantasy 16, which I love. I adore. I think that's incredible. You're going to hear me talk about that a lot more when it comes to Game of the Year episode.
Yep.
Along with Sea of Stars, which also I think very, very good. I think fell flat at its ending, but with both of those games, was just really lacking that meaty JRPG mechanics. I feel like that Octopath 2 like really has, where like having like the right equipment will make a huge difference. Making sure your team is built correctly is going to make a huge, huge difference. And like just really getting in the weeds of like a well-built JRPG game. I'm Ike, I just feel that itch, and I know it scratches that itch. And yeah, I'm very pumped to jump back into it. And I'm glad you have, and I'm excited to talk more about it.
Me too. I'm very excited to... I'm trying to, given the, like, not... I mean, it's not really, like, a spoilery thing, but in Octopath 1, there is, like, a... there is an end game where things do kind of join together and all the stories do start to intertwine. And I never finished that in the original because I would have had to grind for years probably to be strong enough to actually do it. And I just was not up to it. So I'm trying to prepare myself in the event that comes up again. I'm trying to set my guys up for success so they can do that. First try. That's the hope. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Corey, anything else you got?
Yes.
Doing.
Briefly, I won't get into a lot of details of it because I want to play more of it to give it its just dues for you. But I started another game, and I played about an hour and a half of it. It's a little game known as a Costume Quest. Game Pass that I know that you adore. And I played about an hour and a half of it, and I see why you adore it. It's whimsical. It's fun. It's nonsensical. And a joy-filled Halloween ride so far. And I like
love it.
You'll get more next week out of me from it because I want to give it its just dues.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like it. I'll let Corey talk about it more next week. But yeah, Costume Quest, talked about it before. For years was my October tradition where October 1st game rounds, Costume Quest. Costume Quest was loaded up, baby. Double Fine, same people that did Psychonauts and all those things. It's just it's a turn-based Halloween costume bonanza. And
The physical, like you, the costume you wear dictates the class that you wear. I think is just so fun. It's fun. I dig it. I think the story is absolute cuckoo bananas of how did you not know you had a monster neighbor for a next door? Why don't you just go tell mom and dad that your sister was kidnapped by the monster next door?
It's not like the monster lived there. The monsters are there on Halloween night getting candy.
He goes and knocks on the door, trick or treat, and he goes, that looks like some good old candy, because he steps out the door and he takes your sister and runs away.
It's because he's in the house looking for those people's candy. They're trying to steal the candy. They don't live in the neighborhood. They travel from, I can't remember what the name of the world is, but it's like Monsteria or whatever, to come get candy on Halloween. And they, who knows, maybe they killed the neighbors. I don't know. But they come into the house to steal the candy, and you're interrupting them. You're knocking on the door, and you're interrupting them.
The impression I got was he lives there, and he opens the door, and like, candy. I trust you. You're the expert.
Yeah, you're interrupting them. I know the lore. I've played the DLC. I know what goes on.
Okay. Fair.
I know what happens. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to hear about it. There's also a Costume Quest too.
Which you have not praised. So
I like Costume Quest 2 a lot. I think it just kind of fell outside of, like, had it come out sooner, it would probably have been fully my rotation. It just fell outside of that window where I was like viciously replaying Costume Quest. But no, Costume Quest 2, also super cool. It's just a little more like, it's probably a little more complicated than it needs to be, just because it's all like, there's a whole like time travel kind of narrative into the story and stuff. And, but it's probably like it has more complex, turn-based components and more interesting costumes. I think in Costume Quest 2, you can be the solar system.
Oh,
so
I'd love to see that moveset.
Yeah, I think it's like supernova or something. I can't remember. Or you like throw planets at people. I don't know. But yeah, it's not bad. I'm very excited, Corey.
Check it out, people.
Yeah. Corey, this is exciting. I'm excited now.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah. But Corey, this week, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on Instagram at #slingingthrasher with periods in between the hash and the slinging and the slinging and the thrasher. I might post some Spider-Man pics on our Twitter. Haven't posted on our Twitter in a while. Twitter's really not even a cesspool. That's a bit of an insult to cesspools. It's really bad in my not so humble opinion. But I have taken some sick photos around New York, and there's no better place to post them. And so I just might do that.
Very nice.
But that's arcade underscore cozy.
Yeah, yeah. You can email us at arcadecozy@gmail.com. You can find me currently not really anywhere, at least online. I do exist as a person.
He does.
But yeah, just if you want to follow somebody, speaking of, I mean, with the Corey's new thing, go follow Double Fine Productions.
Yeah.
Double Fine on Instagram. Lovely. They made Psychonauts 1 and 2. They made a Cave Story. They made Brutal Legend with beloved America's lovely Jack Black.
Wow.
Did you ever play Brutal Legend?
No.
Yeah. It came out in the 360 era. It is a like rock. It's of course with Jack Black, it's very like, it's a rock fantasy. But it's almost kind of like an RTS. In a way.
Ooh, okay.
It's a very interesting little thing. But it's one of those like cult classics that like people who love it, they love it. So
All right. I'll give it a look.
Yeah. Check it out. Might also be on Game Pass. Who knows?
Probably is.
Yeah. But yeah, Corey. This has been wonderful. I hope you play more Spider-Man and more Costume Quest, more importantly. But until next time, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be
two?
Yeah.